Good morning, church. I have something I want to share with you this morning before we begin in our singing. And got an email, and I got a quote from C.H. Spurgeon, and it was sent to me. It was entitled, "Faith is a Matter of the Heart." I wanted to read it to you. And he had written this, and he said, "We cannot too often insist upon it that religion is a matter of the heart. It is the besetting of sin of man to forget that God is a spirit, and that worship rendered to God must be of a spiritual kind. Idolatry is full of carrying out this mischievous propensity. Instead of adoring the great invisible and giving him the love of the heart, man sets up a block of wood or stone and burning incense and performing genuflections, and before it he cries, 'This is my God.' Where this idolatry does not assume the very grossest form, it takes another, which is equally as objectionable in the sight of God. Man pleads that he cannot worship God with his heart unless his memory is assisted by some outward object, and then he smuggles in his idol and gratifies his depraved nature with will worship and outward formalism. God requires soul worship, and men give him body worship. He asks for the heart, and they present him with their lips. He demands their thoughts and their minds, and they give him banners and vestments and candles. When man is hunted by very shame from outward superstitions, he betakes himself to anything sooner than yield his heart's love to his Maker, submit his intellect to the great Creator's teaching, and render all his faculties to the service of the Most High." Very nice. So, Jesus put it another way. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't come and worship him with our body. It's a vehicle that we use. But we worship him because we're born again, because we can worship him with our born again spirit in truth. So, let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, we thank you that we can read this man's writing long, long after he was dead. But the truth of it still stands. And so, Father God, our goal, our desire here this morning is to be able to press in towards you, to go straight to your throne room here this morning. Because, Father, we are your children. And you have given us that right, and we want to take advantage of it. So, Father, as we press in towards you here this morning and we come to you not holding anything back, we ask that once again that you would just give us that awesome time of worship and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus whispers sweet and low, "Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all life's ebb and flow." Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting 'neath the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A pilgrim was I and a wandering, in the cold night sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restores my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. Leads me beside the still waters. He guards me step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
You know, 100 years on this earth today is considered a ripe old age. But if you go back to the beginning, Adam would have considered 900 years a ripe old age. And so the writer of this hymn, he's sitting here looking, he's saying, when we've been in heaven for 10,000 years, unfathomable to live that long here on this earth. bright shining as the sun. We've just begun, is what he's saying. It's just started. It's just started.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes a woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels ever can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up. This world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Oh, Prince
are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Sits enthroned in his praises. How his love fills this new heart of mine. Oh, I can feel the presence of Jesus. I can sense his touch so divine. As he sits enthroned in his praises, how his love fills this new heart of mine. Oh, I can feel the presence of Jesus. I can sense his touch so divine. As he sits enthroned in his praises, how his love fills this new heart of mine. Oh, I can feel the presence of Jesus. I can sense his touch so divine. As he sits enthroned in his praises, how his love fills this new heart of mine.
Praise the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Worship the name of Jesus. Glorify the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for Jesus lifted us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to give this scripture that comes from 1 Corinthians 4:4-8. Paul says to the Corinthians, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace that was given you by Jesus Christ, that in all things, be ye enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirming you, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Christ. He is speaking that to us today as well, to thank God for the grace that was given to us by Jesus Christ, that we be enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, that we come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful to be enriched by him, to be anointed by him, to be empowered by him, and to be used by him. And we need all those gifts so we can go out and save a sinner. And we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that was given to us. We thank you for all the provisions that you made. We thank you, Lord, that we receive them with thanksgiving in our hearts today. And we want to ask you today that you show each and every one of us the gift that you have given us. The gift of healing, the gift of praying with other tongues, the gift of wisdom, and the gift of discernment, prophecy, and all other gifts. And Lord, we thank you for bestowing upon us, for each and every one of us, the gift that you have for us. And we want to thank you today, O Lord, that you are our source. You are the gift giver. Your every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. And we want to thank you today for victory, O Lord, in this body of believers. We pray, O Lord, that it will be a revival in each heart in this body of believers, that something wonderful will spring up in this resurrection life of Jesus' church. Thank you, Father. Let us all be in unity. Let us all be in one accord, without divisions, and perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done and what you are going to do in this body of believers. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord. We want to walk in spirit and in truth. We want to walk in the supernatural. And thank you also, Lord, for opening doors for us. Give us opportunities that the Lord, that will touch someone and be able to make a difference. Lord, thank you for moving in the midst of us mightily today. Anoint the pastors. He will bring the message to us. Give him the freedom to preach, clarity of mind. We pray, Lord, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And let the word pierce us like a two-edged sword, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today for a glorious day. A glorious day, the day that your name will be glorified in this body of believers, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you also that you are a provider. Not only are you the gift giver, you are the provider. You are the God, O Lord, that no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. We thank you for what you've given us, and we thank you for what you have in store for us. And for this church, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that the word will come out, go out and touch someone. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we want to thank our congregation all around the world that are watching us, that listening to us. We pray, O Lord, for blessings, many blessings upon them. For those who pray for us, those who give to the work of the Lord as well, and those who are intending to give as well. We thank you beforehand. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the wonderful things. And now, Lord, we want to give to the work of the Lord. We want to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for mighty victory today, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We praise you and thank you, Father, for being a provider. In the name of Jesus. And we, Lord, we want to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor today. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children said, amen and amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
Praise the Lord. I want to share something with you here today that we have seen on our television screens this week. I was kind of shocked when I saw the Islamic mobs in Afghanistan surge through the streets and they're screaming at the top of their heads and then storming a UN headquarters and killing at least 9 workers that had done nothing wrong except try to help them. And I'd like to share with you today about Islam, because most of us do not really understand what is the religion of Islam and what does it stand for. Now, I'd like to share this with you, that we had this pastor in Florida, Terry Jones. And I consider Terry Jones to be a very irresponsible man. I'm not even sure I'd call him a pastor. You know, it's one thing to sit here in peace and harmony and create something that causes other people to die. And I believe that Terry Jones simply is seeking publicity. He's pushing his agenda, and it cost about 25 people had to die this week because of what that man did by burning the Quran in his church building. Now, remember this. You don't win a Muslim for Christ by insulting him. Matter of fact, you don't win a Jew for Christ by insulting his religion. And insulting anyone does not lead to any results whatsoever. Now, there's one thing that we want to look upon Islam as they very quickly go through this. They're simply saying this. This is a slogan that is in the Quran. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a messenger of God. Now, Muhammad tried as a young man. He was seeking God. And he went up to Lebanon, and he spent about 3 years in Lebanon in a Christian monastery. And he learned there about Mary, Jesus, and a few other Catholic things. And that's why in the Quran, they acknowledge Jesus. They even acknowledge his virgin birth. But they acknowledge him as a prophet, not as a son of God. Now, after he had been there, he got this illusion. He went down to Jerusalem, and he spent a few years with Jewish rabbis, and he didn't find anything there either. So he went back to Saudi Arabia, and there he had a vision, an angel of light. And, you know, it's amazing with all false religions. The founder always claim everybody else has failed. But I have the truth. Muhammad claimed that Jesus had failed, but he was going to take care of things. The way that Muhammad financed his new religion was by robbery, theft, and killing people. And he was plundering caravans. And I want you to contrast this with Jesus. When Jesus came, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." You never find that Jesus had a fundraiser. You never find that Jesus robbed a bank. You never find that Jesus and his apostles said, "Hey, go and find someone and just rob them. We need some more cash." He never did that. Muhammad is pretty much like Joseph Smith was, or Brigham Young. Very violent men. Now, jihad is, or holy war, is a call for all Muslims to simply go out and to expand the Islamic faith. In the Quran now, it is not a friendly book. It simply says that all infidels, and infidel means an unbeliever, that all infidels has to be put to the sword or they have to convert. You also seen the suicide bombers. And this is where the mullahs are simply telling their young people that, particularly the men, that if you get killed in jihad, you will go to heaven. Now, Muslims cannot drink alcohol here on this earth. They are forbidden to drink alcohol. But in heaven, in the Muslim heaven, they're going to have all the booze they ever wanted to have. And they are told this: if you go and kill yourself, you will go to heaven, you will get a whole bunch of young women around you, and all the alcohol you want, and for eternity, you will be able to drink and have sex and sex and sex. And this is what drives the suicide bombers. When did you ever hear Jesus make a statement like that? He never did. Now, there are three major Islamic groups. We have the Wahhabi, which is pushed by the rulers of Saudi Arabia. The Wahhabi form of Islam is more deadly than the Shiites or the Sunnis. Now, we are propping up the regime in Saudi Arabia. And you know, I've had people, friends that have gone there. And if you work in Saudi Arabia, you cannot bring in a Bible. When we had the invasion of Kuwait and we took it back from Saddam Hussein, American servants were told you cannot bring a Bible because that would desecrate their land. We cannot build Christian churches there. But they can come here and build mosques, no problems. The Shiites are pushed by the current regime in Iran. And, you know, the Shiites are also very militant. And then you got the Sunni Muslims, which are the majority of Muslims. And they are also very militant. Now, the Wahhabis, the Shiites, and the Sunnites do not like one another. They are just like Protestants and Catholics in Europe, been fighting for hundreds of years. Now, I want you to catch this now. The Islamic faith teaches that all people who are not Muslims are infidels and they have no value. This is what the Quran is teaching. The Quran says anyone that is not a Muslim has no value. He's a dog. Kill him. What does the Bible teach? It simply says this, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a book of love. And Jesus came to save and to heal and deliver. Muhammad came to conquer, to kill, and to rule. In Muslim nations, there is constant persecution of Christians. We had Bill Johnson here in our ministry for years. We helped him out. And in Pakistan, they have Sharia law. And it simply means that if someone don't like somebody, they can go to the mullah and say, well, I heard them say something about Muhammad or something about the Quran. You're arrested, tried, and killed. That's Sharia law. Christians live fearfully in Pakistan and other countries, Indonesia and another one. I want you to catch this. Now, I don't hate the Muslims. Matter of fact, Jesus died for them. We need to love them. But every man or woman, boy or girl, that is raised in a Muslim faith is demon-possessed. That's where you saw the mobs. Look at them when you see them on television. Faces just filled with anger. Screaming top of the lung. Kill them! It's like this. Muslims are demon possessed. Their father is a devil. And a Muslim cannot be trusted. We saw this. Of this American major, U.S. Army, had been in the U.S. Army for a long time. And he decided to do his own jihad. And he simply brought a gun in to a clinic in a base in Texas and killed 20 people plus. And he was just hailed as a hero. There were Muslim soldiers that went with them to Kuwait and Iraq. And they turned on their own bodies and proclaimed, great is Allah. And they killed. You cannot trust a Muslim. Because a Muslim is told, not in the Bible, but in the Quran, to simply dishonor and to do harm to people outside their faith. You cannot trust the Muslim government. the Iraqis, people in Afghanistan, Karzai, you can't trust them because they despise us. They hate us. And they are using us. But the moment they can hurt us, they will. Now, I wrote a newsletter about 6 or 7 years ago. It's called Dancing Around the Golden Calf, Part 1. Dancing Around the Golden Calf, Part 1. It's on our website under Newsletter Archives. I would urge you to go and take a look at that, because there in detail do I bring you up about Islam, what it stands for, what they're doing, who they are, and it's a great read for someone to understand Islamic faith. How should we Christians then behave against the Muslims? Well, insulting them is not going to help. If we burn the Quran or we call them names, it's not going to help. We got to recognize this is how they are raised since they were children. They don't know any better. Prayer and fasting, and then loving them. When they hate us, we turn around and simply says, God loves you. Love conquers more than a sword. Praise the Lord. I'm going to quickly have a couple of prayer requests here that we're going to pray for at this time. And I'm going to ask Brother Joe, where did he go? Please come on up here. I'm going to ask you to pray for the Timmermans. We got, okay, he's not here. Okay, he's outside. So I'd like you to pray for the oil prices. And they're going up to $107 this week. Would you pray for the Timmermans? They are going to travel to South Africa this week and be there for a couple of weeks and take care of some things. Safe trip down, safe trip home, and let no harm come to them. Would you stand with us as we pray that?
Father, we just hold up the Timmermans to you today. And as they travel down into this area of the world where there's much demonic activity with the various pagan practices that go on, we pray that doors will be open to them and that your angelic host will station themselves around these loved people and that are part of our congregation, even though they're distant from us. Father, that you will hold them up, protect them from any onslaught of the enemy, and give them safe traveling throughout their entire trip to and from that place. We just thank and praise you, Father, that you are our protector, that you are he who is our refuge and strength and our high tower, and we just praise and thank you, Father, that you're going to watch over the Timmermans from the beginning to the end of this trip and give them a good praise report when they come back in Jesus' name.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you, Lord. That, Lord, you are the God of heavens, you are the Lord of heavens, the Lord of earth. You are the Lord of all who live. You are the Lord of all the universe. Lord, you are in control. You uphold things by the word of your power. Oh Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. We want to declare today, it doesn't matter how high the oil price has gone. Oh Lord, we do not care what those speculators are doing, what the banksters are doing. We know what our Lord our God can do. He is the one that can make a difference. He may allow in them for a certain period of time to succeed and think that they have all things in your hands. But in due time, when God moves, things happen. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking charge there, Lord. And bring those oil prices down where they belong, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We have no doubt that you can do it. And we praise you and thank you today, O Lord, for bringing those prices down. And when they start going down, they're not going to stop going. And we're going to thank you for putting the fear in those speculators. The fear that they're going to lose their money. That they're going to lose. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for putting that fear in them, O Lord. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father. And we lay that need at the altar today. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for a miracle there. And give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor. And pray this in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these prayers on the altar, and they shall be answered, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We can have a very joyous occasion here today, so elders, no, don't go. You guys just keep walking on me. Stay up here. Okay. You know, we have a couple here today. What I'm going to say is this, you know, you're never too old for love. You know that. You're never too old for love. And we're going to ask Reggie and his bride, Ann, to come up here at this time. And we're going to pray for you. Now, Reggie was a young aviator, World War II, flying as a navigator against the Japanese in the Pacific. He survived that. And he decided to get married. So, before we pray for you, Reggie, come on up here. Get some oil ready. And why don't you just share a couple of words here with us. Just stay right over here, Ann, so they can see you. Right here, the camera will pick you up. And Reggie, you want to share something?
Well, we're just pleased to be here in this church and to share our happiness with everybody here in the church and everybody on television. We've known each other for a long time, as you know, and we're just very pleased that everything has happened, and very thankful to this church and Ina for all the work she's done and all the preaching that we get from our pastor, John Terrell. He just gets better all the time, doesn't he? And Bob and Mike and Al and Peggy and everybody we want to share this with.
Okay. Anything you want to say, Ann?
No. It's just nice to be here. It's wonderful. And Reggie's a very good husband.
Okay. Okay. We'll just stand back a little bit here. We've got to pray for you. Would you stand with us? And let me have my deaconesses up here, too. Haven't I? I only got one deaconess in here. The other one back someplace? Okay. Okay, why don't you stand behind her? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we can pray your blessing upon Reggie Shin and his wife, Annie. And Lord, love is never too late to love, Lord. And we pray your blessing upon this couple, Father God. For your Holy Spirit to come upon them, Lord. Father God, they would cherish one another. They would serve one another. They would walk together. And that, Lord, they would have many years. In your word, you says you gave us 120 years. And it doesn't say in the Bible we got the 120 years, the last 60 were full of sickness. Father God, we can be fully healthy until the day you call us home. And we pray your healing upon Reggie, upon Ann, that you keep their brains, Father God, their minds sharp, their bodies well, Lord. Let there be a tremendous blessing upon this couple. And let them be able to lead people to Christ and to shine in these days, Father God. And we thank you right now. We bless you right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I pray also for Reggie. I pray for Reggie and Ann. And we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for many blessings upon them, Lord. We pray, Father, that it will be Christ always the center of their family. Let him be the center. Let him always seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto them. Let them be always in unity, always in one accord, always praying together, and reading the word together, and studying together. And we thank you, Father, for, oh Lord, for saturate them with your peace. Give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Strengthen them with all might, according to your glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And thank you, Father, for giving them good health, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, like Pastor said. And we praise you and thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being a great testimony. And use them in reaching out to the lost, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Whatever plan you have for them, Lord, let it be done. Let it be fulfilled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Congratulations. God bless you. Okay. We love you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You may be seated. Thomas Burns is in...
Tell him about our party.
I will.
Okay.
Thomas Burns is in the state of Washington this weekend, and that's why he's not here. So we're going to have Joe is going to take testimony time. So if you have a testimony, Joe is going to lead it. And then after we have had our victory song, there's going to be a reception here in the church. So just plan to stay with us and honor these two people here in a little reception. Thank you. So, Joe, it's all yours.
Well, this is my favorite part of the day when people get up and share with us those things that Christ has been doing in their lives during the week. And it seems like there's always something new every week that somebody's experienced that I look forward to. I'm reminded after John's sermon today about the first verse I ever memorized was Romans 1:16. And it's slipping away from me right now. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's all of us. You know, that's the Jews first. Like you said, the first year or two, they were only Jews in the area that were getting saved. But, you know, the entire planet is involved in salvation through Jesus Christ. So, testimonies. Do we have anybody with a testimony today? I see a hand over here, Satiris.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us share this, Lord, clearly.
Amen.
Make it understandable. And we thank you, Father, for using us and making connections, oh Lord, with different ministries. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We have been going to, whenever we have a Saturday available, we go and feed the homeless.
At the river.
And at the river there near West Sacramento. And we've been going now for quite a while. In the beginning, I was not quite sure whether I'm doing the right thing. These people are homeless. They will stay homeless. And what can I do? In what way can I help them? But every time we went, we prayed before we went. And God started using us. We had about four people got saved. We had one young girl that... we prayed for her, and she was delivered from some evil spirit. And before long, a week later, she moved out of there and she moved with her family. And she was not homeless anymore. There was another two women, no, another couple that got married before we started going there. They got married and then they got married in a church, and the church offered them a place to stay. And by doing the work of the ministry there. So those two, that couple, they kept visiting, and while we were there one time, we asked them if they were saved, and they said, no, would you like to accept Christ? So they gave the heart to Christ. And that was wonderful. And so these are the things that are going on. And yesterday we had, we keep ministering to one person who is very well versed. He speaks really well, and he knows a lot of things. And we try to get him out of that mode, in other words. And why do you, and we ask him the question, why don't you move out of there and do something that will be constructive, that God can use you, and one thing after the other. And also we gave him an article about a homeless person that a newspaper found about him, found out about him, and then he got a good job as announcer or something that would happen. And so this is what's going on. And I'll let Joanne say, continue on this.
This man's name is Manuel, and God wants him to be teaching in a church, children of the next generation, and he knows that. He's had experiences with his own children. He's well-spoken, beautifully spoken, and so the message was given to him, but he needs deliverance. And he said all these beautiful things, said the scriptures, everything, and then he finally told us that he smokes marijuana. And so we're praying for deliverance. And then yesterday, we took cheese and chips over there at noon, and there was another church that had just fed them. So we took the food back home and went to an Indian wedding shower. And then we came back and went to the boat ramp people again, the homeless people again. And we were sitting and talking with Manuel, and five trucks drove in, and they were very definite. They knew what they were there for. They just drove in, stopped. They parked each one where they wanted to park. And this man,
big trucks, small trucks,
pickups. And Manuel says to the other people at the other end of the tables, "Cops," but it wasn't. It was a church from Davis, and it was awesome. And those people were so filled with the Spirit. And I think that's why God kept us there. It was just beautiful. And they had a big prayer circle. We talked with the man that runs the group, that's the head of the group, and he's had healings that are just beautifully done by the Lord. And so we joined the prayer circle, and there's a man named Billy that has brain damage that lives there on the river. And we're praying for his brain to be healed. And so this man says, "Billy, we want you to speak out." And Billy started speaking scriptures, and it just one after the other, and he couldn't stop. It was just beautiful, and that's what they're going to be like. They're going to outdo us with scriptures, I'll tell you. And everybody's just standing around in awe because Billy couldn't shut up speaking scriptures. And so we've made connections with this man. There's a man named Singh that's been in a coma for 3 years, and he's going to go with us to Mr. Singh. And he and his wife both have a high anointing for healing. And it's going to be something else to watch. Well, I'm very interested. It was just exciting to me. And so that's what our day was like yesterday. But God keeps putting people together from different churches, different areas. He's putting people together that he wants to be together. And he's going to have something done. His will to be done. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
It was wonderful to see God making that connection. It was not a coincidence.
Amen.
Actually, we were kept there. We were meant to leave earlier, but I believe God kept us there, and it was a good connection.
Amen.
And we spoke with this man who is a pastor, and they go to all homeless areas. They go to San Francisco. They go to Los Angeles. They're well organized, and they pray for the sick. They see healing and all these kinds of things. And I also invited him to come and visit us, and I believe he will come. Yeah. And so that was the point that we wanted to make, that God puts people together, brings people together for the work of the ministry. And it was a wonderful thing. I'm excited about what happened yesterday with a connection with those people, all young people, couples together. Yeah. And that's our testimony.
I want to say one more thing.
Thank you.
And the Lord has us going to different churches when we're not supposed to be here. We don't interfere with this church, but we go to other places, and we're teaching so many things that we're learning here.
Amen.
So many things are going out. And next Saturday is a wedding ceremony, and we're giving them Christian Dynamics book number 1 for a wedding gift. And that's going to be wonderful.
Now, as Jesus is building his kingdom and bringing in the last of those, at least we think so, because the end is closing in so quickly in most of our minds, we see people everywhere going out and doing these types of things that really don't require that you know a lot about the Bible. It helps to have scripture memory verses in your mind, of course, like Soterus does, but being available is the thing. Is there anybody else with a testimony? Okay. And Charles did tell me not to forget to say that this is a time for sharing those things that are testimonies that are of what the Lord is doing in your life, and not making it an opportunity to open up the pulpit for commentary on politics or economics or military actions in the world. Although if you did lead Muammar Gaddafi to believe in Jesus and trust him as their Savior this week, we'll be blessed to hear that too. Bob?
You know, I quit that a long time ago, if you were listening. Well, this has a lot to do with what John said. Every time John, I remember, who was it? Oh, Bill Chacon, a few weeks ago, said, you know, when you sit through 1 hour with John, it's like 3 years in a typical Bible school or something like that. It's probably a lot more than that. Anyway, speaking to the situation that pastor has spoken about Jews. I happen to have a lot of experience in that field. Not all of it pleasant. But I did spend some time in New York, and I probably know the culture as well as anybody in this room, perhaps a whole lot better than most, because I made a very serious mistake in those years, and I married a Jewish woman. And in the process, you almost have to put yourself in my shoes to realize what can happen. But with an arrested development spirit, as we've all learned about, I was alone right out of the war and so forth in New York City, and under a lot of pressure from her family to get out of town, because you can't marry a non-Jew. And so she finally came up with a con job, and to my discredit, I finally went along with it. She wanted me to go down and talk to a certain rabbi. He was a reform rabbi. And I finally did, all the way to Brooklyn. And it was very interesting, and this is worth a little insight, I think, for all of you who will come across people who are Jewish or anyone else. There are certain ways that you can speak to people, but sometimes it's only the way you are yourself and the way you were brought up. I was brought up with hardcore Christian values. I'm not saying my folks read the Bible. I never read it once. It was around there to put death notices in and roses that you press for 50 years, but that was it. But I did go to Sunday school, and when I was in high school, if you weren't in the Lutheran church on Friday, or Sunday rather, you didn't play football on Friday. Reverend DeFries is a personal commandment. So I was very religious about that for a couple of years. But anyway, there I was, and so he began talking to me about, to see what I knew about the Jewish position. And I began to tell him about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth and so on. And he was a fairly reasonably nice guy. And he said, "This is amazing. How does a Christian boy know this?" And I said, "Well, when you go to Sunday school, at least in my era, you start at the beginning, and the beginning of the Bible is the Old Testament. And it goes right on from there." He said, "Well, I don't want to get any further than that." But so this went on for a couple of sessions. And finally, he turned to the lady and said, "Do you know these things?" And she said, "No." And he said, "You didn't go to Hebrew school?" She said, "No." She said, "Would your parents know these things?" She said, "I don't think so." She said, "Yet this Christian boy who's supposed to change his whole life around, he knows more about what we believe in than you do or your parents." So it wasn't lost on him that I was the one that knew quite a bit about it. But nevertheless, I went through with it anyway. And when I went through deliverance with Pastor Terrell 16 or so years ago, that turned out to be one of the most powerful things I had to get out of me, because even though it was a lie, frankly, the minute it was over and I got married, I started going to church again. But at the moment, it was a lie to her parents, and so forth and so on. Now, that's just one part of it. At the time, I lived in a Jewish rooming house in the Bronx, New York. I was the only Irishman for 3 square miles, or give or take. No, really, all the stores are in Hebrew, all the signs, everything. But there again, it was my Christian background as a kid and my ironclad discipline that I got from my father and my mother and my dad's philosophy that you give everyone the shirt off your back if they're down. But if they cheat you, then he had a way of saying it, but it was the Irish way. But anyway, but I learned the morals and principles, and if we didn't learn them there, we certainly got them with Reverend DeVries, or you didn't play football. So it was ingrained in me from childhood to be a certain way and to be kind and polite and with good manners. So my roommates up above were two women that survived Dachau. They had the tattoos and everything. At the time, they might have been 40 or 45. They seemed to be 60 or 70 from what they'd been through. And they were appalled that a non-Jew was living in a Jewish rooming house. But Mrs. Kamen took him aside and said, "If I had a son, I would want him to be like Bob. He has manners and kindness and courtesy and things that you don't see among the young men today," and so forth. So that was a little background which led me to the final part of the testimony. When I was a hardcore anti-communist in the 60s, there was a couple of Jewish guys. The first one was Jack Sachs, rest in peace. Jack was the most brilliant man I ever knew, or any of us. He had more degrees than you can shake a stick at. In fact, his job was to sit up and puff on a pipe and think of brilliant things way out there. But I first met him in a picket line. I was picketing Steve Allen, and somebody hit him with a picket line. Anyway, after a year or so of this, we knew we couldn't go on without something more powerful than our own strength. And we met a guy named Bob Jones, not the same one. And he said, "I used to be a minister, but I got so tired of the, you had to teach their doctrine and not the Bible, so I quit. But if you want to start a Bible study, I'll come up and we'll do that." So we did, at Val's house. So here we were, a bunch of really hardcore anti-communists. Val was raised in Persia as a Christian and a Syrian. And it was Jack, who was Jewish, and so forth and so on. But little by little, Jack got a little tired of going there because he wanted to just talk politics. So somebody finally said, "Somebody's got to tell him this is a Bible study." So we all said, "Okay, it's your house, you tell him." So a week or so went by, and Jack came to the meeting, and he said, "Before we get going, I want to say something." We thought, "Oh, boy." I said, "Val, tell him. Nobody wanted to insult Jack. He said, "I've been coming here, and I thought, well, if I'm ever going to get my friends back so we can go out and, fight the commies, I better look into this Christian thing. So with all the computers he had and the brilliance he had and astrophysics and you name it, he decided to check out if the sun actually stood still at one time for 24 hours. That was just one thing. And lo and behold, he found that it did. He said, whoa, there's something to this. So he said, what I really want to do, though, I got out the Bible, and the next thing I knew, I was crying. So I want to confess to you guys that I'm now a Christian. We almost fell off. The second one, who was Jewish, I hung out at the station, and a friend of mine said, you ought to talk to that guy over there. I looked at the big guy over there, and I said, why? He said, because he's the most liberal Jew you'd ever want to talk to. I said, oh, really? Risk for my mill, right? I began to talk to Jay. And he was a brilliant guy. He's also an actor, and he was tall, so he had force and power, and he used all the arguments that don't work against a trained person. But the long and short of it was, because he saw the love and he saw what we were doing over and above fighting the commies, a lot of my friends did fine Christian things, and they'd, you know, help people here and there. And about a year went by, and Jay announced that he was now a Christian. And he went on to work for the Cup of Cold Water Ministry, and he did a lot of other things. And so it can be done, but it's what you are, I think, more than anything, and the way you approach it. As Pastor has said, you don't approach anybody like this. You never get anywhere like that, whether it's Muslim, Jew, or anyone else. So that's a little insight into Pastor's week today in my life. Thank you.
You know, I'm reminded that there was a study way back, I guess it's way back for me, in 1981, I had heard that there was somebody who had undertaken to check out Gabriel's prophecy as spoken through Daniel about when Messiah would come into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry that we know happened on the foal of a donkey. And they had been struggling with being off by X number of hours. I forget how many it was. And they finally found out that it was because they hadn't factored in that day that Bob just mentioned, where the Philistines needed routing and the sun stood still for that period of time. When they factored that in, Gabriel had a margin of error of zero. And Jesus Christ held them accountable for knowing that day. He said, because you didn't recognize this your day, you are going to be blinded. Not forever. Paul in Romans tells us that blindness will ultimately be lifted. But they did not recognize that their day. And he held them accountable. They should have known that. Anybody else have a testimony? Oh, I'm sorry. I've just been signaled we're out of time. So we'll just have to close it up. Father, we just thank and praise you for the opportunity today to hear this sermon that John has preached. And we pray that we would, our congregation and those who've heard it will do as the noble-minded Bereans did and go out and check these things in Scripture that we've been given and see if they aren't true. And Father, we just thank and praise you for your holy word and how it is the clearinghouse for all things. The light and the lamp and the path, our path daily as we walk, we just depend on you, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, we intend in our hearts to go out and to do that calling that you've given us to preach the word, to convert people, and to shed your truth in this dark world. In Jesus' name.